Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you guys doing?
When you look at the Muslim community.
Now I want to start off with saying Patrick bin David has come a long way regarding Muslims and Islam, and we commend him for that.
Muslims have the lowest percentage of divorces, lowest percentage of divorces. How they feel about abortion, how they feel about LGBTQ, all of that stuff. Muslims have a conservative belief.
Recently, I think Andrew Tate was one of the first Muslims to be on his show.
You can't say that Islam isn't the most successful religion on earth. It's the most successful in regards to opposing evil. It's the most successful in regards to opposing its differing viewpoints. It's the most successful in regards to having people act within the limits and the confines of what it finds to be moral and good to God. It's the most adhered to.
And now we see him going in a great direction, trying to get people to think more about what Muslims and Christians have in common. And I think he's going in the right direction.
And what if Muslims and Christians come together and say, look, let's set aside Prophet Muhammad and Jesus. Mm-hmm. We know what you believe in. We know what we believe in. But listen, when it comes onto these issues with family, let's unite.
One key point I'm going to get into right off the bat is that we as Muslims, we don't have to put Jesus to the side. You got to know that, because as Muslims, it's an article of faith to believe and love Jesus. We love Jesus. Do you understand that? We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers sent by God Almighty. We believe in his miraculous birth. We believe he was the Messiah. We believe that he did many wondrous miracles by the permission of God Almighty to prove that he was indeed a messenger of God. And if you deny Jesus, you say any disrespectful thing about Jesus, this can land you into the hellfire as a Muslim. We believe this. So the same way we would go ahead and defend Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as one of the Tate brothers says, Tristan Tate.
The Muslim world is a part of the world where you cannot walk around and freely insult Jesus. So I feel perfectly at home with him at least.
So let's get into this episode of what Muslims and Christians have in common with Patrick.
I'll say this. I would much rather work with a Muslim parent association than an LGBTQ organization.
This is good to see. They're acknowledging that many Christians are starting to see the benefits that can come from working together with Muslims on these issues that are facing our families, our children, and us working together.
These two guys, two communities, imagine all of a sudden a liberal has to defend a Muslim with pure values.
They're also seeing, we're seeing the contradictions with some politicians, unfortunately, who claim to be Muslim, but are doing opposite to Islam.
You see Ilhan Omar tap dance around this whenever she gets asked questions about this trans stuff.
Good afternoon, Twin Cities Pride. How are you all? I am so excited to be here with you all to kick off this beautiful weekend and to celebrate all of the diversity of the LGBTQ community. Happy Pride, everyone!
Let me touch upon this thing. Muslim Americans having animosity toward Christians, Christians towards Islam.
There's an understandable fear that American Muslims have animosity towards American Christians and vice versa.
This is not the case. This is not true, except in cases where you have Muslims have been unfairly targeted, discriminated against, unfairly bombed, unjust wars like the weapons of mass destruction. You guys know about this and how many millions of Muslims killed unjustly. So under this lie, there's a great documentary, Dirty Wars. You can watch this. So otherwise, Muslims live by this verse from the Quran, where God Almighty is clearly saying that he does not forbid you for dealing fairly and justly with those who have not fought you because of your religion or driven you out of your homes.
Muslims are 99% in agreement.
Why? So say, why is there that division between the two?
Some of it is a theological, and I share some of this, right, belief that radical Muslims want to bring Sharia to the United States.
And that's why you got to have a Muslim on the program, Patrick, to go ahead and discuss these things. But I'm just asking you a question. What is Sharia? Do you even know what Sharia is? How about if I just give you a few things to think about? Moses, Ten Commandments. What do you think about that? You know, Sharia is mentioned over 200 plus times in the actual Bible. This is the divine law, God's law. And what did God's law, the Sharia, what did God's law come to do? Let me just define some things, go over some things. It came to preserve life, human life. It came to preserve the lineage of the family, your heart. It came to preserve your heart, mind, your intellect, your wealth, your religion, your connection with your creator, the pure monotheism. Now, after you get to know these things and you get to know the essence, the foundations of Islam, God's law, Sharia. Would you rather live by that? And most people, when these things are explained, they usually agree with it. Their innate nature agrees with these. Would you rather live with that or with what he's talking about here, what's happening?
Let's pretend you think that Muslims want an authoritarian regime. You're already living under one. You're living under a trans authoritarian regime. And here's a group of people that want to smash that regime. Wouldn't it be nice to build a coalition for once?
So this is interesting. Patrick goes on to talk about relaying a story that happened with his Muslim friend. It's nice that he has actually, I believe he has a Muslim friend here.
But love him. Amazing. Love his wife, Naveen. Good people. So he starts talking about Muslims, America, Israel, Republican, Christians. And this guy is a hardcore conservative.
Yeah.
Maybe more a hardcore conservative than a Muslim. And that's saying something, because he is a Muslim and a proud one.
Okay, let's stop right here. Let's look this up. What is a conservative? He talks about conservative. Let's look up a very basic definition. Here, I look it up. It says, averse to change or innovation and holding on to traditional values. Averse to change in what? This is a very important point here that you distinguish between religion, innovation in worldly matters, technology, et cetera, et cetera, or then in religion. No, you cannot change the religion, add to it. It's perfect. God Almighty says, this day have I perfected your religion. This is in the Quran. And I've chosen for you what? God Almighty said, I've chosen for you Islam, submission to the will of God, submission to the will of God. This is what Islam is. You cannot add to it, delete it. And what traditional values are we talking about? We're talking about traditional values. Let's start with Abraham, for example. He wasn't a Jew or a Christian. He was one who, again, submitted his will to the will of God. He was morally upright. Holding on to those traditional values, yes, we're for it. Holding on to the traditional moral values of Jesus' mother, or Jesus, the way he prayed, the way he treated his neighbor, the way his mother dressed, the morality of herself, how she was a chaste woman, holding on to those traditional values? Absolutely, 100%. Here we say, according to this definition, but we don't change the religion to suit the time, to suit man changing things. So you can go ahead and have all of these things that's going on, for instance, selling out God, selling out your religion. No, this is one of the things that attracted people like Andrew Tate and others to Islam, that it's strict adherence to the book, to the Quran and the Sunnah, as we call it, to the divine law, not man's subjective desires. No. And this is a very important thing here, is that we would say, according to this, we are more conservative, according to this definition, than the conservative, holding on to these traditional values of goodness that God Almighty had revealed, and more Christian than the Christian. Think about that one. The way we go ahead and greet, just starting from that, simple things like this. In the Bible, it says Jesus, he would greet, peace be with you. Shalom aleik, we assalamu aleik. From holding on to the beard, for instance, from the way Jesus now moving along, the way he fasted, we fast, the way Jesus prayed and he fell on his face and he prayed. Look it up. It's in the Bible, Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed. Find me another group of people who is praying like Jesus prayed. And more importantly, so who did he pray to? If you look at the Lord's Prayer, O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's praying to the Almighty, to the Creator. This is the submission to the will of God. Thy will be done. This is Islam. So yes, we are holding on to the most conservative values. And also, we would say even more Christian than the Christian.
And he's the kind that converts. He's not a kind that just talks about it. So he's the kind that converts. And he converts Christians.
Here's interesting. He talks about he's the kind that converts. He's not the one who just talks about it. He's pretty much given dawah. This is the invitation that it's not our job to convert. A Muslim job is not to convert anybody. God Almighty is the one who guides the hearts. It just, as I often say, if you care, you share. So it's us to give the alternative and to give the solution to many of the world's problems. And it's up to you. If you like it, you accept it. If you don't, you reject it. That's all that this man is also doing. And the truth stands out clear from error. And when it comes, it makes sense. It makes sense from the pure monotheism to all of the other things, the rules and regulations that are there for the preservation of the family, society, humanity. And this is what the dawah is, what his friend is doing. And whoever you are, brother, the brother who's Patrick Min David's friend, I'd like to meet you. I'd like to have you on. Whoever can make the connection, make it happen. He goes on to talk about the growing number of people accepting Islam, especially women.
I think the number was shown on how many Americans have converted to Muslim. The number is like 20,000 Christians, of which 75% are women. 25% are men.
This is interesting. He says converted to Muslim. Small correction here. Not a big deal. We say converted or reverted to Islam. And every child is born on the pure fitra. This is what we say, that every child, all of the creation, from the baby in the womb to the mountains, to the birds, to the bees, the seven seas, everything is in complete submission to the creator of the heavens and earth. And when that child grows up, everything now around him is pushing him in this direction and that direction. But if that child was to be left alone, it would grow up to go ahead and submit to one and only one God. If he was on an island by himself, if he was in a mountain somewhere, no religion came to him, he would be on the pure fitra. That is, he would be a Muslim, one who submits to the will of God Almighty, not to a statue, not to a stick, to a stone, nothing but the creator of the heavens and earth. And just to give this definition even more clarity, if Jesus came back today and you asked him, what religion are you? We wouldn't expect him to say Christianity, because if he did, then you'd ask him, what sect of Christianity, which one, Roman Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Jehovah Witness? He would say, my religion is a total submission to the will of God. This is a lengthy definition, but in one word, this is Islam.
Of which 75% are women.
This by itself, this point, this fact here, this statistic should go ahead and dispel that myth by itself that Islam oppresses women. Because why would women come to a way of life, a religion that oppresses them? No, they are coming for true freedom, and they're finding that in Islam. This is a good part here where he acknowledges why Muslims would be upset.
But no, you're right. Christians, West, relax. Like, hey, we got 800 military bases in the world. We're in everyone's freaking business. Of course you're going to piss people off. You want to know about everyone's business, everyone's divorce? Leave my marriage alone. Of course you're going to create enemies. Okay.
And what are the things that we, getting people to think, what are the things that we have in common we can agree upon so we can unite for the greater good?
Now we have a mutual understanding and agreement. What do we agree on? Family values and principles. Why don't we unite here and all the other stuff? Guess what, Muslims?
Here he touches upon the statistics of Muslims having more kids.
Number one is Muslims. Guess what, Christians? You ain't having enough babies. That's your problem. Mm-hmm. Go compete. Have more babies. Yeah. These guys are doing 2.9, 4.9. You're doing 1.9, 2.1.
This goes back to family and Islam being not allowing men to test drive women, fooling around. We have what's called the nikah. This is nikah. Very simple. Look it up. Two witnesses, the woman's rep, and you get married. No excuses now. No excuses for zina. Look that up. Fornication, adultery. No. And you get right with God. It's very straightforward, very simple. And then he talks about how Muslims are kicking your in this.
These are logical conversations where you can't be like, well, I don't want to compete against Muslims. No, they're kicking your ass.
Why are Muslims angry?
I think there's a super simple reason why most Muslim countries have difficulty, or why they're so angry, is because they don't embrace a simple market principle of charging interest.
This is interesting. What? Because they can't charge or take interest. That's why you got to have Muslims. You got to have some good Muslims on the program, scholars in the deen. I'm not talking about myself. I can hook you up. People who are more knowledgeable in this area than myself. I'm not a scholar in Islam. I just want to point that out. But I can hook you up with some good people to get on the program. But you got to have, but I'm inviting you, Patrick, to be on the Dean Show. So this is something, and I don't even have to get into the prohibition because they did discuss it, the prohibition of it, even in the Bible itself.
Usury is what you're referring to, right?
Yes, no, it's in this.
Which was used to be outlawed in the Christian community.
Yes.
How Jews made all the money.
Yes, and Jews find a workaround in the book of Exodus. It explicitly actually prohibits it, but the rabbis found a workaround because they realized that flourishing and prosperity actually comes with the ability to charge interest, right? I'm very pro-interest.
Now, the main differences here.
There are some fundamental differences between worldview of Muslims and Christians that I think need to be ironed out. But
we got so many things in common, but if you want to discuss the differences, we can get the elephant. I like to do that. Get it out of the room that we can go ahead and focus on many other issues. But the first and most important thing is we believe in the pure monotheism. Let's go ahead and let the Quran, God Almighty, it's the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah, speak for itself.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفؤا أحد.
Another one of the differences is that we believe in original goodness, not original sin, that every child is born in a fresh, clean slate. He's don't got a criminal record, a rap sheet, none of those things. Sin is not inherited. I'd give you an example, Patrick. Imagine Al Capone. You're very familiar with him and other many of these gangsters. That let's say you were related somehow to Al Capone, a distant family relative member, and next thing you know, they want to come lock you up because some of the crimes that Al Capone did. That wouldn't make any sense. So we don't believe now because what Adam did, disobeying God, he repented, and he was told how to seek repentance. There was a great lesson for that, but we don't believe because of that sin that he did. Now we are inheriting that sin. So we don't believe in that original. We don't believe in the original sin. We believe in the original goodness. And the original sin is the way you guys look at. We look at the original sin is the sin of arrogance. Is a sin of arrogance. It's a whole different discussion. But these are the differences. Hey, many people have many other differences. They live with their family members and they can't get along with certain things, but they're still family. We are the greater family, the family of humanity with the same father, Adam. So I love the direction this is going. Let's go ahead and keep it going.
We're living in a place where the God of America has replaced it with trans zealotry, worship of the self, widespread narcissism, and kind of a globalist ideal.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how do you then defeat that thing? And sometimes you have to make a prudent step that you might not be thrilled with to partner with a group of people that you do not see eye to eye on, theologically or otherwise, to build a coalition to win.
Here he talks about, again, the importance of building coalition. Love the direction, Patrick. The
reason they tend to be a violent people, too, is because their prophet was a very violent person. Christ was not.
Oh, major mistake here. Major. Remember the Bible and Quran experiment? Let's go ahead and take a look at that here, with all due respect.
If two men are fighting, and the wife of one of them comes to rescue her husband from his assailant, you shall cut off her hand. Look, here is my virgin daughter. I'll bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But as for this man, do no such outrageous thing. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother, then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. I do have a little surprise for you. All these heartwarming passages that I read to you today, they're actually in the Bible, are actually the Bible.
So they say Muhammad killed people. No, Moses also killed people, but that was the command of God, to fight against those who fight you. So if a thief comes to your house and smashes your wife and your children and you hit him back, they say, oh, no, you are a criminal, you hit someone. Yeah, but I hit in a context, in a reason. I'm not going out killing people or attacking someone's house, but someone attacked my house, I have to defend. So yeah. If someone attacked Muhammad's house, if someone attacked his country and killing innocent people, as a leader, you got to defend, you got to fight back. That's what he did. If Jesus was the king of his time, I can assure you, he would have fought back and he would have killed a few who were killing innocents. Now, according to the Bible, the Christians believe Jesus is God. So Moses killed people under whose command? Under God's command. Who is God according to some Christians? Jesus. So who commanded Moses to kill? Jesus.
But then the young man comes back and he has a pretty good question that he poses for Muslims to think about.
It's impossible. How you as a Muslim could then say you believe in what the Quran teaches and what Allah commands of you, right? And also say it's okay to teach this grooming perversion. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are sitting on some.
I love here how Patrick jumps in. He's talking about this makes no sense.
Words.
It makes no sense.
How we can't go ahead and unite. We got bigger fish to fry.
Stop being such a pansy and start kind of like figuring out other people and how we can create areas that we can reach.
And this is exactly right. Making the evil behavior seem normal. We're totally, totally against that.
We're talking about an area where the opposing party is doing evil things and it's making evil behavior seem normal.
And let's end with that. Let's just talk.
Let's just freaking talk. Because we keep acting like everybody's perfect. We can't unify the group.
And that's why we've invited you on the show. We're extending our hand. We're extending the invitation. We've made the connection. We're waiting to hit the balls in your court, Patrick. We've heard from you. You've heard from us. Now we're waiting to hear back from you so we can go ahead and look to make this a historic reality now, making history. This vision you have, I like it. Many Muslims, will also like it, and we can go ahead and dispel many of these myths. We can talk about certain things, and we can hopefully make this a reality, because there is a big agenda, attack on the children, attack on our families, and we want to go ahead and protect our children, protect our families, and we will make a more powerful impact working together. You see that, I see that, most Muslims see that. So let's go ahead and put these differences to the side. We can discuss it. We can get the elephant out of the room, like some of these points that I've touched upon. And we hope to hear from you. And inshallah, God willing, we can go ahead and collaborate, make a coalition of good, of good. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Hope to hear from you soon, Patrick. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.